Taylor Decker's on my all 22 fantasy team.
Stop. They don't care.
So the strategic component to this game is through the roof.
Your predictions, right? Your forecasting in fantasy football into how good is this player?
This is going to, it's going to change the industry.
Yeah. I moved to the old town where it goes down. Look at me now. I wrote my goals down. I hold it down. Made myself proud. Say, look at me.
What's up, everyone? Welcome into the All 22 NFL podcast, the official podcast of the All 22 Fantasy Football platform. It's the only fantasy football game with full 53-man rosters, including offensive linemen, where you get to choose personnel packages and have access to PFF grading and advanced stats to make decisions each week. To learn more, go to all-22.com. Ray, week one is in the books. It was a very exciting week. Bobby made a good point, though, this morning when we spoke to him. He said, while it was exciting and there was great football, there wasn't any game results that really surprised him. And, you know, reflecting on it, I kind of feel the same way.
Yeah, except for the Bengals fans screaming at us right now. Like, what do you mean? But outside of that, and like I think he mentioned it too offline, is, you know, which is typically the best podcast, right? The ones that never make it on air, that they start slow and they're kind of susceptible to this, right? They do this. Like, they have this bad loss typically early on. And then at the end of the year, they're still the Bengals and, you know, a great offense and all that good stuff. But yeah, when you go down the list, it's like, who really jumped out team wise and surprised you? Not a whole lot. Maybe you thought some players or some teams would do better than expected. I thought the Jets would be better, but is it a shocker they lost to the 49ers? Of course not.
No. So, and even the Bengals, like, you can say Burrow, right? Like you said, he always kind of starts a little bit slower than he should, but he had the whole offseason without Jamar Chase there, with T. Higgins there, and Jamar Chase plays and T. Higgins doesn't. And it's kind of like, okay, so your top two receivers haven't really been practicing with you and one's not playing. It's kind of funky, right? So like, not that it was expected, you're right, it was worse than expected, but it wasn't like totally out of nowhere. But let's kind of go through an exercise today, have some fun. Let's talk about each position. And it was a kind of a post I did on Twitter, but who are the top performers? What were some performances that you thought were promising? And what were some that like really gave you pause and concern? And we could do like one or two per position or whatever. And honestly, it's just like, I'm going to talk about more so games I actually watched than, you know, just games in general. And I'll be honest about that. But like, the top performance was Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. And no surprise at all, I think, from anyone there, right? He was automatic. He looked really good. But actually, I think after last night, it might be Brock Purdy.
Brock Purdy?
No. I think it might be Brock Purdy now.
Maybe. I you know, I have zero shares of Brock Purdy. It's still Pat Mahomes.
Okay.
Yeah. Mahomes was like a 90 something maybe. And Brock Purdy 88.4. So yeah, did really well. But you know, I can't pull up Brock Purdy on the spot. I don't have him on any of my teams. So that was an impossible task.
Okay.
But well, you want to talk about Brock Purdy? Because I know we got some other quarterback takes in here that we...
No, I don't. But I mean, anything on Mahomes, I guess.
No, he is what he is, you know, and even when the statistical output isn't totally there, I mean, when you watch him play, I mean, it's just so tough to beat him. It's exactly what you've come to expect. To me, he's always been the clear 101. I know some people go the Josh Allen route, but to me, Mahomes is still up top. He's got Xavier Worthy now, who there's still going to be some growing pains, right? But obviously hit the ground running in week one. He's got, but and he's now the speed threat that can catch the ball better than Hollywood Brown. So he kind of gives that added dimension again for Mahomes that might have been lacking consistently in years past once Tyreek Hill left, which obviously Mahomes still may do without. But now that he's got that, in addition to, again, Rashee Rice just continuing to play and dodging the consequences. I don't see anything that takes Mahomes off that top spot. And the age difference between him and Josh Allen isn't enough for me. So he's the clear 101 in startups and will be next year and probably the year after that. So I think he's just the clear guy in his own tier.
It just feels so good when your first overall pick plays like the first overall pick, right? Like, everybody feels good about that. If you took Mahomes 101 or even you got him at 102, like, you feel really good about that right now. But some of the guys that I watched that I thought looked really promising, Derek Carr, Baker Mayfield, and Anthony Richardson, and all to different degrees. I mean, Carr, I think, surprised me a little bit because he looked so bad at times last year, but he did finish the year extremely well. And Carr is another one of those quarterbacks that he typically starts very slow. So that's why, that's what really surprised me, seeing him come out of the gate just like rocking and rolling. It felt like he had something to prove, but he also went against the Panthers, right? And the Panthers basically sacrificed their entire defense to shore up their offense by trading away guys like Brian Burns. So it's not crazy to think that they're just going to be the worst defense in the NFL and most teams are going to cook against them. Still very promising for Derek Carr to go out there week one and have a great game. Baker Mayfield, I mean, Ray and I have been trying to sell people that Baker is a really good quarterback for a long time, and it was awesome to see him go out there and just rock and roll. Did you get a chance to watch that game at all?
I did, and just it's like a proud dad moment. It's like, we've been saying this, he's been disrespected by some in some circles for a while now. Everybody, or not everybody, but a lot of people have pointed out on Twitter, of course, it's like, well, look at Baker Mayfield now compared to what the Browns are doing over there with Deshaun Watson. But it's good for Baker. Played very well, getting back to what he looked like he was going to be before he kind of played through those shoulder injuries in Cleveland, really laying it out there for his team to his own detriment. And they went their separate ways. And then to see him perform this well is just, it's just awesome and sort of why we do this. So yeah, it was a proud dad moment. Is he going to perform that well every single week? No, but he is solidly a top 15-ish quarterback in the league, and is a nice consistent option for you as a very high-end backup on the platform, or, you know, a low-end QB1 if needed.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, I think we expected the Commanders' defense to be a little bit better as well, right? Like, this is a defensive-minded new head coach that is decorated as one of the best in the league. So for the Buccaneers to do that against the Commanders and that D line and that defensive front is exciting. It is promising, right? It's a good week for Baker for sure. Anthony Richardson too. I mean, everybody saw some of the highlights, but that's really what he needs to, like, I think everybody sees that, right? Everybody sees the potential in those big plays. Now it's about just being good, play in and play out, which I don't think he's there yet, but it gives you hope in that, like, you don't give up on Anthony Richardson yet. Like, you absolutely don't. Maybe you're not starting them yet, but you see the possibility there. And I mean, for them to give that Texans team a run for their money, right, 29-27 is a big deal. So very exciting for Richardson. I'm saying, you know, buy up or at least keep him.
I'm still, I would sell him.
Ooh.
Is that the first hot take of the episode? I'm just the style of play, I'm still not sure is sustainable. He's still kind of playing in the backyard a little bit, you know, heaving it with someone, you know, kind of bearing down on him and just, you know, taking some shots. We saw what happened last year with his injury. And yeah, it's so that's concern number one is, can he hold up with this style of play? Number two is this style of play and this level of play sustainable? Meaning, again, the deep passes were great. We all saw it, right? On deep passes, he was 2 of 4 for 117 yards and a touchdown, tied for 8th in the league with an 85.1 grade in week one. On intermediate passes, he was just 2 of 6. And on short passes, he was just 3 of 6 for 20 yards on short passes. Respectively, that was good for 30th in the league. And then on short passes, good for 33rd among quarterbacks in week one. 33rd. Tyrod Taylor graded higher than him on short and quick passes. So just for some context. But I think in general, those areas really have to improve because that is what wins games, is the consistency in the short and intermediate areas. And then when you can hit those deep shots, that's kind of how you put teams away. But if you can't do the little stuff right, you're not going to have consistent success. And I'm not saying he was expected to have that all down right now, right? Because he's a second year quarterback and coming off of an injury and so forth. So obviously he needs time, but I was never bought into his skill set fitting that style. And so to me, if people are very high on him right now, coming off of this performance, I might go ahead and try to sell at a good profit here and get some assets back in return.
That is a big take. All right. The next thing I'm going to do, is talk about the most concerning, or at least I want to put five names out there, and I want you to tell me who we should be most concerned about. Unfortunately, there was a lot of names to go to pick between here. But Deshaun Watson for the Browns playing the Cowboys, Daniel Jones on the Giants, right, playing the Vikings, Caleb Williams played the Titans, Bo Nix played the Seahawks, or Bryce Young playing the Saints. Who at this point are we most concerned with the poor performance we saw in week one?
All of them. I mean, I would think the one that had the most value and probably the biggest investment in prior to this week was Bryce Young. And now you just got to be concerned, because I liked Bryce Young a lot coming into the league. I thought he was a gamer. We said it. His Alabama teams were not the typical Alabama teams you were used to, at least on offense. He did not have great receivers to throw to. He wasn't going out there with the Decepticons just throwing the ball around. And, you know, no, he was actually carrying that team and making plays for them. And so to come into the league and to not see that playmaking ability at all anymore, I do question if he's broken after just 1 year. Sometimes players just break. Bad organizations break talented, promising players. And that might be the case here. And that's incredibly concerning, because I can go ahead and find another quarterback if I invested in at the level of investment I put in Deshaun Watson, for example, because that was a, you know, maybe a late round startup pick or something like that as a flyer with some upside. Daniel Jones was probably taken on as a QB2 for someone's depth chart. But Bryce Young, someone might have taken him very highly as a future play. And he might just be done. He might just be a younger Daniel Jones. It's really tough to say, and it's tough to see, but that was really bad. And he wasn't going against like a top defense in the league. It was bad. Yeah. I don't know how you fix it.
I was definitely most concerned about Bryce as well. I mean, for all the reasons you said, and also because you're right. It's like the investment that you probably put into him is significant. Caleb, I mean, I am concerned about that too. Like, that wasn't a great defense they played against with a ton of weapons, right? Like, it's a pretty mild defense, and it was concerning. But it also is his first NFL game, first live action, so you kind of give him a pass. And I feel like the same with Bo Nix. Like, you give both of those guys a pass in week one. But Bryce is definitely the biggest concern. Daniel Jones, right. Like, you probably didn't invest a whole lot in him to be this concerned. He probably wasn't starting for you. Deshaun Watson was playing the Cowboys, which is, in my opinion, the best defense in the NFL. So I don't know if it gets, you know, it might end up getting better from here for him, right? Like, that might be a one-off type game. But let's move to running back. So Aaron Jones was the highest graded running back this week, and he looked fantastic. It is ironic, right? Like, Packers let him go, choosing a semi-younger option in Josh Jacobs, and Aaron Jones just looked so electric. He still has it. But the promising guys is really where I want to lead the conversation, right? And that's three guys that stood out to me were J.K. Dobbins, Joe Mixon, and Devon Achain. Those three guys looked phenomenal. You know, I think you and I both thought Dobbins was done, but is there something left there?
Yeah, I think there's something left, but I'm still concerned that he's going to be this guy in week eight. Like, is all we've seen is his body break down every year in the league. It's not that he's not talented. It's he doesn't hold up. His body just doesn't hold up to as good as his talent is. So I'm still concerned about that. He didn't erase those. He raised some concerns. He erased some concerns that I typically have with running backs coming off of Achilles injuries and such, which is he still looked good. He still looked explosive. He still had some pep in his step, but there's an overarching theme with his career, and that's injuries. I mean, he was injured in high school. I think he like had a broken leg his junior, senior year, something like that. Like, he came into college injured. So it's a long list of injuries in his past, and you can't just shake that off, and it's not a coincidence. So I'm still concerned about him. I am going to take a victory lap on Joe Mixon. I tried to tell you guys last week. So happy to see him do well in the Texans and prove me right. For at least an on the field take anyway, but I'm excited. I'm glad to see J.K. Dobbins still had that in him, but I am concerned that it's going to hold up, or that his body's going to hold up in the future.
I think it's more situation, like whoever the running back is for the Chargers, I think that's more what we now can say, like, hey, that's going to be valuable no matter what, whether that's Dobbins or somebody else, it's going to be valuable. Like, there was a play where he was breaking away and just didn't have it in him to get past the defense, right? Like, I think that's concerning. And I could also see the Chargers saying, somebody else might score a touchdown on that play, right? And that's the guy that should be getting the carry. So while I would probably go and spend some free agent money and pick up Dobbins if he's available, I don't think I'd go out of my way to trade for him at this point. Yes, you definitely deserve the victory lap on Mixon. A-Chain looked awesome. It is good to see that they are still invested in him. It was concerning if you're a Jalen Wright owner because they actually didn't have him active during the game, which, again, super concerning. But you're excited if you invested in the other guys. And then the guy I was most concerned about was Jonathan Taylor. Jonathan Taylor graded somewhere in the 50s this week. He was the guy that was supposed to have the breakout because Anthony Richardson was back, right? His situation was supposed to get better. It was going to mean a lot for him. And he kind of looked like cheeks, completely, to be completely honest. So don't know if you have any takes on that. I personally didn't watch the whole game for him, so I don't know. But curious if you have anything to say.
If someone wanted to be really early, they could say, you know, if you wanted to be first, you could say, ah, that's it. Taylor's hitting the decline, right? The concerning thing about Taylor, and it's 1 week, but his yards after contact per rush was just 1.8. And for some reference, his career average yards after contact per rushing attempt is 3.29. So nearly half of what we've typically seen from Jonathan Taylor. So that's, you know, is that just, you know, one game anomaly and, you know, maybe just, again, no or limited preseason trying to get up to speed? That is totally possible. But if 2 weeks from now with three games under his belt, he's still kind of looking like this, then you can be concerned because, you know, just because some backs like Saquon Barkley, who have been in the league longer, still look awesome. Thank goodness he finally has a hole to run through and a competent offense around him. Running backs still decline around age 25, 26 at times. So, you know, it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility for Taylor to start hitting a decline. So, yeah, it's something to keep an eye on. I'm not terribly concerned, but I have something that I am now keeping a close eye on.
Okay, let's move to receiver. Tyler Lockett was the highest scoring receiver this week. And it's in line with something we've spoken about before, which is that the receivers that typically do extremely well in all 22 are the ones that are the best route runners, right? Because this is more than just, did he catch the ball? It's what kind of separation did he achieve? What was his route tree looking like? Was he just asked to do go routes the whole time, right? Like, those guys typically do better. Tyler Lockett is a great example of that. But the promising young guys, there was a ton. Reed on the Packers looked phenomenal. Jameson Williams had the best game of his career, and we've all been waiting for it, right? And finally, he had the preseason to actually train, right? There was no injuries there. There was no suspensions like the last couple of years had. So it was nice to see that for him. Nico Collins proved that last year wasn't just a fluke. Brian Thomas Jr. looked good as well. He had that great touchdown catch from Trevor Lawrence. It was a phenomenal throw, but great catch as well. Xavier Worthy, you already spoke about a little bit. The two guys, though, that were most surprising to me, three besides Jameson Williams, Keon Coleman and Ladd McConkey both graded extremely well. Keon Coleman, I think, is the one that I'd like to highlight the most because I was pretty down on him. I was thinking this is a big bodied guy. It's going to take him a lot of time. He's not really meant for the role, or his skill set isn't really meant for the role that they were putting him in. And he went out there and played a pretty good game of football. So that's exciting for Bills fan. Is there anyone in that group that really shook you or that you're most excited about?
My two biggest takeaways were Nico Collins and Brian Thomas Jr. And it's not that I had any delusions of Nico Collins' success not being sustainable or anything of the sort. It was more so, given all the weapons now in Houston, was the passing game still going to run through him? Was he going to have some down weeks? Was he going to get enough volume to kind of be that game breaker and still have a huge impact? And he answered that so far. And then Brian Thomas Jr., I think we said it last episode, Trevor Lawrence has never had a guy like this. And so what's it going to look like now that he's had, or he has a receiver to take the top off of defense and be dangerous on any given snap? And Trevor took advantage of it, right? And he still has so much more to do as a player as far as rounding out those rough edges in his game and becoming a complete wide receiver. But at least he was able to do the things that you expect him to be able to do, which that's the first box you need to check for any rookie in the NFL. Is I drafted someone whose fast, or I drafted someone who can cover a lot of ground at safety. You want to at least see that before you go ahead and say, okay, now can he work on the areas of his game that needs to be worked on? Because if you draft someone and they are not able to do what you drafted them to do, that's a bad sign. So he checked that box right away, which is exactly what you want to see. So that's my most promising takeaway from the receiver position in all of week one was Brian Thomas Jr., with the understanding that there's going to be some growing pains, but at least I know that, you know, we have the ceiling now. Now let's work on everything else.
Sure. And Amari Cooper was the most concerning for me, but it's really just a sign of what Cleveland's offense became that week, right? But, you know, the matchups, we didn't hate them, right? Like Deron Bland is out. Trevon Diggs is supposed to be coming off of an injury. And the Dallas defense just didn't miss a beat, right? And especially those DBs, they basically shut Cooper down. You know, you talk about guys that might be on the decline or on their last legs. Are we starting to see that with Cooper?
No, I want to see the Browns. I'm not going to say I want to see the Browns offense with anything, because I'm not sure I want to see the Browns offense anymore after that. But the Browns were down, I think at one point, like three of their starting or of their top four offensive tackles. And so the Cowboys front just annihilated them and made it very hard to do certain things. And then there were other times, I think our friend Steve Palazzolo actually retweeted or quote tweeted an image, and he's not screenshot guy. I'm not typically screenshot guy either, but of Amari Cooper kind of breaking open over the middle and Deshaun Watson rolling out to his left and just not able to get him the ball. Well, Cooper's not going to grade well if you don't give him an opportunity to get the ball in his hands and do something with it. And there were some opportunities there. He missed the deep pass where Deshaun got rocked and kind of fell right in his hands. That would have been a phenomenal play if Cooper had come up with that. It would have been a phenomenal play for Watson. So that is one where I wish he would have came down with that, but I'm not ready to write him off just yet, because the whole Browns operation kind of got hijacked. When you fall behind and you have backup offensive tackles blocking or trying to block Micah Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence, it's just not going to end well. And you're not going to be able to do anything. So I'm not pressing the panic button on Amari Cooper just yet.
Okay. Going to tight end, I have the same guy for the top and the most promising, and that's Isaiah Likely. He was awesome, and everybody watched, right? That was the Thursday night game. The Ravens were basically running that offense through him, which was a big surprise to most of us. And I think part of the reason that was happening was because Mark Andrews was being sometimes triple teamed, which is an ode to how good he is. But knowing now that there's that second option on there, I do expect defenses to kind of transition a little bit and maybe even things out a little bit. And obviously Isaiah Likely tried to come down with that last touchdown catch, which would have even probably made his grade even higher. Right. But it was a great week for him. Again, he had the highest score for all tight ends, but also the most promising in my eyes. I think a guy I talked a lot about in the preseason was Jake Ferguson, who actually came up with an injury and is now expected to miss some time. That might be my most concerning, but Evan Engram as well, a guy that the Jags are relying on pretty heavily. Like, you got to think that game was so close. If he himself had a better game, is that a win for the Jags?
I feel like Evan Engram has never been a reliable player. I've never been comfortable with him.
Was last year, no?
Yeah, that's the point, though. What, his seventh year in the league, he finally was like, oh, look, here's an up year. Like, that's kind of the point. Like, he had an up year, but now what? And it's not a good start. I've always found it hard to trust him. He had spotty hands coming into the league. That improved, but he's just never put it all together with all the physical gifts he has. I've always found it hard to trust Evan Engram. I've avoided him. I think I have maybe one or two shares of him, and it's probably one or two shares too many, I've always felt. But people in my league are smart and don't really want to go for him either, I guess. So I've never trusted Evan Engram. So I would try to avoid starting him if I can. I know the name is enticing and he's going to have a couple weeks where he looks really good, but I can't trust him.
Okay. Let's go to tackle. Really the meat and potatoes of this episode, right, is the offensive line. And the top player was Zach Tom on the Packers, right tackle. Did a really great job this week against a really difficult Eagles defensive line. And he was like one of the only Packers offensive linemen to put up a decent grade. Everybody else was pretty rough. So for him to be the top graded offensive tackle was extremely promising. There was a ton of promising guys, though, in this game, in this week. Charles Cross from the Seahawks, Paris Johnson on the Cardinals, Darnell Wright with the Bears, Austin Jackson in Miami, Bernard Raimann on the Colts, Talise Fuanga on the Saints. Those are all young names that had phenomenal grades this week, and guys that, you know, we weren't really sure, right? Like, Charles Cross is my guy. Paris Johnson is your guy. I never gave up on Austin Jackson. We talked in the preseason about Bernard Raimann and how he's been really good, right? And just kind of under the radar. And then Talise Fuanga, right? We talked about how he's a guy I would have drafted too, but because he landed with the Saints, we were kind of worried about it, right? And it might have just been that matchup with the Panthers, who traded away their entire defensive line, and Derek Brown got hurt as well. But it's still promising to see that week one, all of these guys went out and had great games. Is there anyone that surprised you?
Austin Jackson surprised me. I had just dropped him on final cut down day. So that hurts, but I've cut, you know, I've made worse cuts. I cut Jalen Johnson before last season. So there's that, but I still, when you talk about someone like Austin Jackson, I want to see him do it again, but it's a good start because that Jags defense, that Jags front is tough. And I was not expecting that type of performance from him. So first test is passed, but there's a history or a longer history of him not being this type of player. So he had one up year, I think a couple years ago, and you know, the tools are there, but kind of another one where does it ever all come together? It was a good start. So that's surprising to me. It's promising to me, but you know, this isn't a first or second year player either. So I want to see him, you know, I'll revisit this the first week of October and see if this is held up. And if so, then that's awesome. So, you know, sometimes linemen take time. And if so, then that's great. And that's another quality tackle option for, he might be on someone's waiver wire or maybe on the back end of your depth chart. And that's a really nice boost for you. But Austin Jackson was the one that stuck out to me. Super, super proud of my guy, Paris Johnson, never doubted. And but Austin Jackson's the one that really, that's a name that users here should remember and pay attention to, and just see how that one develops over the next few weeks.
Because he might be available in your leagues, right? Like, that might be a guy you can go get. And I think it's definitely worthwhile after that performance. He is also a guy that, if you monitored him over his career, there was like little ticks upward his entire career, but he just wasn't putting it together. This is the year they really need him. And I think it might be year four, which is typically when those struggling linemen either make or break. So it's promising again to see that make in week one. Biggest concern was Taylor Decker for me. He graded extremely poorly against the Rams. We talked about that Rams front, how it's kind of like a, you know, we don't have the guy anymore, so we're going to do it with numbers, not force. And Jared Verse absolutely took advantage of Taylor Decker at times, which many people didn't expect. And I think it's an ode to the job Jared Verse did and some of the things that we saw in him. But also, it's like Taylor Decker is this older offensive lineman now. He's probably going towards the end of his career. Similar question to Amari Cooper. Like, is it time to start being like, hey, if he can't beat up on a rookie defensive end, is there concern?
Yeah, I think there has to be. So who would you start if you had Taylor Decker and Austin Jackson and you had to start one? So you had three offensive tackles on your roster. Your fourth got hurt. Who are you starting next?
Yeah, I think we might be at a point where it's matchup, right? It's based on matchup, where I'm surprised I'm saying that, right? Like, ask me 2 weeks ago, I'd tell you a different story. But now I think it might be based on matchup. If Decker is going against the Panthers, probably going to start Decker. If he's going against a harder opponent, maybe like the 49ers, I'm probably going a different direction.
My only thing is, it's Dan Campbell. Let me see how he bounces back before I go right into matchup territory. But because he could bounce back. I think they have Tampa Bay coming up next, and it's not the toughest of pass rush opponents. And so if he kind of looks back like his old self, then, you know, we'll see. But I'm almost there, but I'm not quite there just yet.
Okay. You're going to see a consistent theme with those types of guys, but let's go to guard with Will Fries, who, shout out to his dad for giving us a follow on Twitter. Love to see that. But really exciting performance from him, just because, to be honest, that whole Colts offensive line gave us a little bit of hope, right? Like, there was this notion that they were the best offensive line in the NFL for a few years, and then they had a couple really down years. And kind of it kind of is promising to see good performances from their center, both their guards, right? Him and Quentin Nelson both played well. So it's exciting to see that. Other guys, right, in the promising category, Kenyon Green, who is your darling, right? Like, we finally got the game that showed what we thought of him as a prospect. So that's definitely exciting. But I want to touch on one other guy, which was also somebody you called out in the preseason. Will Hernandez had a great game for the Cardinals. So love to see that for you. You know, count those wins early because they might go away quick. But what did you think of Kenyon Green?
Yeah, I love it. That's a proud dad moment right there. That's probably the proudest dad moment. But talented player, dealt with injuries, way to come back, have a good game to start, and see where it goes. I feel like a lot of the talk coming out of this game was, the defensive lines for either team, I feel like people were kind of disappointed in. I'm like, well, wait a minute. I mean, hello, offensive linemen, like, they matter. That's why we have them in fantasy football. But let's take a look at that performance. Like, those were two tough offensive lines. On paper, you look at them and they're both really good. They just, at least for the Texans, never really had all those pieces come together at once because of like Kenyon Green's health issues and so forth. So to see that, yeah, it was a very good start. Very proud dad moment. And let's see where it goes from here. You know, again, now it's a long season. And if your body's not used to that and you've been dealing with injuries, you can hit some walls, that sort of thing. He's going to have to work through some things. If he's going to, you know, play a full season as a starter and so forth. So there's still some work to be done. But for those teams that I have him rostered on as a third or fourth guard, waiting for him to finally be healthy and turn into the player that, you know, I know he can be and saw during the draft process, it's a promising start. And, you know, I'm happy to have those shares.
Zach Martin.
You should too. And if he was, and by the way, he probably is available in a lot of leagues, because if I'm not in your league, he might not have an advocate. So you should probably go get him. He's 23 years old with high draft capital, good player. So might want to go get him.
Sure. Zach Martin is the most concerning for me. And I there's a little bit of a balancing act here, right? So he had a very down year last year, but we still were like, hey, this is a guy that knows what he's doing. He's a vet. It's a great offensive line. It's a good offense. Still buy, right? We were still in that kind of buy or hold territory. He went against the Browns, which is one of the best defensive fronts in football. So you kind of give him a little bit of slack as well. But another bad performance for Zach Martin, kind of like running over from last year and actually getting a little bit worse. How concerned are we with him?
It's the age. Might be catching up to him. There were some good moments, though. I think on Zeke's touchdown run, he absolutely destroyed somebody. Really washed him down, and even Zeke was able to score. So that tells you something. But yeah, I don't think we're going to see the same, without a doubt, top five guard anymore. I think those days are probably over. He really hasn't been that guy since 2021. He was good in 2022. He was all right in 2023, but he hasn't been an elite player since 2021 now. And so, at some point, he just is what he is. He's going to be 34 years old during this season. So I'm concerned. I think given the state of guard, he's a starter level player, but he's no longer a star level player like he used to be. So yeah, I think he's going to, you know, establish his footing. He's going to be a consistent player, but he's not going to be a consistently great player anymore. I think those days are probably done. He's probably going to get aged out here after a year. So if you have him, probably just keep him. I'm not sure you can get much for him. Maybe you can if someone really values the name, but I think this is just one where you ride out. He's going to be starter level, and that's about it.
I think I'm still in the hold category just because it is a valuable player. Like, I don't, to your point, you're not going to get better than probably a sixth round pick for him, which is upsetting, right? Like, because of the name recognition, the Hall of Fame career he's had. And I think there's still going to be value some games and some matchups where he's going to absolutely brutalize the opponent just because he's going to be smarter than everybody else. Okay, let's go to center. This was honestly the most surprising top performance for me on the offense, and that's Eric McCoy from the Saints. He has had such an up and down career, starting off pretty hot and then just back-to-back 60 graded seasons, 2021 and 2022. A little bit of a bounce back last year, getting around 79. But to come out game one and put up a 90.4, 90.7 that's absolute fire for him, right? So he wasn't even on the radar for me, to be completely honest. But that's a great performance. And I think it goes to, again, the opponent was the Panthers, so take it with a grain of salt. But still, very promising for him. Most promising were Zach Frazier and Aaron Brewer, two guys I wanted to mention. Zach Frazier on the Steelers was definitely one of our preseason darlings. He's somebody that we are totally bought in on, especially me. Aaron Brewer was a guy that you mentioned as well, though, as a guy to watch at the center position. Again, in Miami, replacing Connor Williams. And that's kind of what they did, right? They went to all of these positions and said, okay, we have a superstar leaving like Christian Wilkins or Connor Williams. How do we replace them? It's like, hey, let's go get this like more like B or C level prospect that maybe didn't do a fantastic job with his last team, but we think has a lot of promise in him. And it, at least in week one, it worked out really well.
Yeah, the thing about centers, you probably have to jump on those guys quickly. You don't really have the luxury of holding to see how they do because supply and demand and not many good ones out there. So you kind of have to make those judgments pretty quickly. But Eric McCoy is just so tough to figure out that I'm just, yeah, it's a roller coaster ride I just don't want to get on. I'll miss the ups, but that's fine. I'll also miss the downs. But Aaron Brewer, yeah, good situation. Didn't play the hapless Panthers, who also might have lost Derek Brown for the year, which would be a huge loss. So, yeah, more sure about Aaron Brewer here. I still don't like the vibes on the Saints, so we'll see how that ends up. I think the Saints have Dallas this coming week, so a much tougher test to see how they do.
I'm pumped for that matchup then. The most concerning matchups to me, there's two names I have here. One of them I'm going to go with that whole, they're a rookie, so like let's give him a break in week one. But Graham Barton had a really hard game for the Bucs, even though the rest of that offense played really well. The one that I'm actually concerned about, though, is Josh Myers. This is like year three or four for him, and he has not shown what he can be. And honestly, there were plays where he got absolutely brutalized by what is a good defensive line. Like it's a good defensive line, but it's also a young one. And when you're now in year three or four, you need to be putting things together. That is a position where I fully expect them to experiment with some different options going into week two, maybe even week three. There's a different starter. They got Monk from Duke. I expect them to try to play him at some point soon.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where he might be a victim of his schedule. But, I mean, to me, that's the toughest interior defensive line in the entire league. Yeah, Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis. Yeah, I mean, Jalen Carter on his own. And then you just have like a bear in Jordan Davis where it's like, and I don't think – I'm not sure Myers is physically equipped for – I mean, what happens – isn't that like a thing? If you heat up like glass really hot and then you cool it really quickly, it shatters, or maybe it's the reverse. I don't know. I didn't pay attention to whatever glass that would be in science. But like that's kind of what it is going against Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis. Like possibly the quickest D lineman in all of football right now, and then Jordan Davis. So that's a tough matchup. Let's see how he does next week.
Okay. All right. So you're saying
it's not gonna be very easy with a backup quarterback now if Love is out. But yeah.
Yeah. For sure. Let's go to the defensive side of the ball. Defensive interior. Sexy Dexy Dexter Lawrence was the highest graded. This is, you know, year two of him being the highest graded defensive interior player in the All 22 platform. Nothing shocking there. But the guys I was excited about, I'm going to give myself a pat on the back for these two, but Tavondre Sweat and Byron Murphy both played phenomenal football. Tavondre Sweat specifically, I think he had a 75 point something grade. That's great football, right? For a rookie defensive interior to go out there and put together. Gotta love to see that. Byron Murphy, again, another guy that just looked really good, really promising. They had a nice rotation going as well in Tennessee. So I like to see that for a young player where they're not asked to do everything. So I think that's another thing to make you want to buy into or at least believe in the future this year of Byron Murphy. He's not going to have to be the bell cow at the defensive interior position. Of those two guys, which one are you most shocked to see the current performance, or you know, what did you like the most?
I'm not sure either their performances are shocking. It's more so, man, if Tavondre Sweat, Sweat is probably more shocking in that respect. But you know, it's all about can he keep everything in line off the field, because he's a great player on the field. He's immensely talented. He just kind of has to keep his weight in check, and you know, avoid some of the stuff off the field that gets you into trouble. Because if he does that, he's phenomenally talented. But it's weight and it's off the field with him. And it was a good start, but it's a long season. And it's also a long off season. This is a dynasty platform. It's a long off season. So that's like, Devondre Sweat is one of those guys you have to worry about in the off season. Because it's a long off season. There's a lot of downtime. There's a lot of things for him to do. And it might not always be the best. Byron sure. Murphy's a professional. We know what we're getting.
Sure. The most concerning to me was Osu Odighizuwa on the Cowboys, 57.3 grade in week one. That is a great offensive line, interior offensive line that he went against. You talked about before how, you know, the edge rushers were going against backup tackles, but the interior of that offensive line is still potentially the best in football. Still, you know, Odighizuwa, after the year he had last year with that 81.4 season grade, we expected him to now get into that stage of, hey, draft this guy early because he can be a solid foundational piece for you. So to have your solid foundational piece go out there and put up a 57.3 concerned me at least.
Yeah, and the other thing is he typically starts very hot and then he kind of tails off at the end of the season given his size and his usage and everything else. And this was not a good start, but it was also a tough assignment. So let's see how he does against the Saints. Actually, him versus Eric McCoy. Let's kind of see how that ends up, right? We're just talking about McCoy over there. So maybe we'll watch that Dallas interior versus the Saints and see how he does there. But yeah, that's one to keep an eye on, but I'm not too concerned just yet. Yeah, we got guests.
We got guests. Love to see it. All right, let's go to the edge position. And we'll start off with Joey Bosa leading the position as the top graded edge rusher in the All-22 platform. He looked phenomenal, right? And that's kind of what we expect when he's healthy. The issue with Joey Bosa always is he's not always healthy. So if you looked at our preseason ranks, he was a bit lower than, you know, a guy that should be grading out top of the tier. But still, you know, love to see that for him. I was extremely excited about two players in particular. One I had called out in Keon White with the Patriots. He got the opportunity he was looking for and absolutely showed out.
Waiting for this one. Yeah.
Yep. And but the guy I really wanted to focus on during this conversation is Greg Rousseau. Is there a chance that Greg Rousseau has now entered superstardom at the edge position? This is his, he has back-to-back years of 83 plus graded seasons, and he starts off with an 87.2 in week one. Are we entering the Greg Rousseau is legit phase?
I think we've entered that phase. Is he a superstar? Maybe just a star, which is still obviously very good. But yeah, no, he's very good. He is much better than he was coming into the league. Yeah, good on him. There's not much to say. I mean, he uses his length really well. He's just phenomenal, just kind of consistently pushing forward and always just moving forward on the line of scrimmage, not giving up ground and just stressing the assignment. It's just, it's almost, if you're have a rooting interest on the other side of the ball, it's stressful to watch because he's making things difficult on the line for your team. So yeah, he's a star. He's up there and needs to be talked about more. And I was not high on him coming into the league.
But no, I wasn't either.
Senior year of COVID and just came out a totally different human being. So,
right. And he really looks special. And I do think he's now entering like that conversation where maybe we were too low on him. Right. So like, if you were a Greg Rousseau believer, you know, shout out to you. Jalen Phillips, I wanted to maybe just mention that really quick, because I know both of us were like, hey, the injury stuff is just too concerning. I don't think we're going to see him come back. Kind of came back and did really well. So definitely excited for him and just happy for him as a human, right? Like happy to see that he came back and is healthy. Odafe Owe, we talked about and how we were excited for him. He also had a great first game of the season. And then earlier I mentioned with the Taylor Decker thing, Jared Verse had a great game. So wanted to give him his props as well. I'm going back to the Packers, but Rashawn Gary, I am very concerned about him. That was honestly probably the worst game I've seen him play, just in terms of like, what I expect versus the reality of what we got, right?
Are you concerned or are you just upset?
A little bit of both. Definitely a little bit of both. But he's a player, right? We talked about him during the rankings. We're like, I think everybody was a little too low on him this offseason, and he's healthy, he's back, and he's good. Like when you have that level of player and where we thought he was, you expect consistent pressure. And honestly, like I didn't see any of that from him. He was basically manhandled by the Philly offensive tackles, who are very good, right? We're talking Lane Johnson and Jordan Mailaga. Those are two of the best tackles in the NFL. you still expect to see, at least on some plays, Rashawn Gary getting pressure. And honestly, I just didn't see it. Like, I didn't see anything that gave me excitement or trust in his ability to continue to do that. He'll have easier matchups where you will trust him. But what this told me is he's not situation or he's not matchup proof. And I thought he was on the edge of being matchup proof, and I don't think he is anymore.
But what if it's just the field was so bad that he just couldn't get his footing in pass rush? Like, what if it was just that? Because it was embarrassing. Okay. Like, it feels like a long time ago because of all the games that happened, but that was just Thursday night, and that was, or Friday night, and that was awful. That was an embarrassment for the NFL, just to be totally honest. I did not want to watch these players on that field. I was scared every single play that something might happen to somebody important. They're all important. Because of how bad the field was. So maybe it was just the field negating the pass rushing. It could be.
I would love to think that, but I would also counter with the Eagles had plenty of pass rush. So, like, I don't know, right? Like, they looked pretty good getting after the passer. Some of that was coming from the interior, though, which might make a difference. I don't know. It's just something to watch. I do think this tells me he's probably not matchup proof.
Yeah. I'm just saying, if I had a history of an ACL tear and I had to play on that field, it'd be in my head because that was embarrassing.
Yeah, it was. All right, let's go to linebacker. I'm gonna take an L on this one, but Logan Wilson was the highest graded linebacker in week one. We talked about him when he got his big contract extension as being a guy that, like, hey, those contracts don't usually work out when you pay a player that has achieved only that mild level of success. He showed out. He had a great week, number one graded linebacker in the NFL. But the guys I was really excited about, right? The performance, the promising performance, Leo Chanel looked phenomenal for the Chiefs. You know, everybody is all over how, you know, good Nick Bolton is, which I think is valid, but Leo Chanel is also a very talented linebacker for that situation. And it's another reason why that Chiefs defensive group has risen to the level that they are, right? As one of the best defenses in the NFL. Overshone. I'm just so excited about him, right? We talked about him as the sleeper for the linebacker position, but I didn't expect to be able to cash in on that as quickly as we did. He wasn't even projected to be a starter. And if you look at their unofficial depth chart from last week, they had the guy Marist, the linebacker they drafted, as the number one starter. I think he only got 4 snaps. I don't know if there was an injury that happened there. You can tell me that. But I was so excited to see that Overshone got the majority of the snaps. And when he was on the field, he looked tremendous, right? The explosion we saw at Texas is still there. Just looked like a great all-around player. So, you know, again, like a weapon that we expected him to be, he was all of it.
And it's his first game back from injury, like his first real NFL game back from injury. So that's a heck of a start. Very excited for him. I'm just scared to ever get too excited about these linebackers, because the next game, the game plan could just be to attack the middle of the field and put those guys in conflict, and they just grade terribly because that's the NFL these days. So I'm still just terrified. But a young athletic freak coming off of an injury looking phenomenal is as good a start as you can ask for, and probably someone you were able to get much cheaper than you otherwise would normally. And good on you if you have Overshone on your roster.
Hell yeah. Two other names I'll just shout out really quick, because we talked a little bit about Mac Wilson during the offseason and how he was a surprise with the Patriots last year, and he got a deal with the Cardinals, and we were kind of like, those are the deals that sometimes don't work, right? Guy has one good year, wasn't really on everybody's radar, gets a big deal with another team. He did great, great graded game for him. And then Ivan Pace Jr. with Minnesota, coming off of his fantastic rookie season, didn't lose any pace, no pun intended, and looked phenomenal again, going against maybe a rough New York Giants team. And then I'm sticking with the Packers, and maybe you're right, maybe it's the field, but Quay Walker looked so darn bad in that game. And we talked about him and how he's just all athlete and freak and just no discipline. And that's exactly what it was against Philadelphia. He was just always out of place, never in the right position. But when he, you know, makes a play, he's doing it at 115 miles an hour. And that's just the kind of player you get with him. And honestly, I think it's a little bit of a hard situation for the Packers, because I think you see that athlete and you want to be able to get the most out of him and get him grounded to be a consistent football player. I don't know if that's in there for him though, right? Like I think at this point you look at it and it reminds me a little bit of Darnell Savage, the safety they had, right? It's like you have this just pure great athlete. You just can't get them to be disciplined and it starts to be so detrimental to the success of your team. I think we might be at that point for Quay Walker.
Yeah, some guys, it just doesn't click. It might be one that it doesn't click. And maybe, I don't know, maybe Edgerrin Cooper's snap share grows. I think he got 11 total. Maybe that grows. So we'll kind of monitor that in the coming weeks. Linebacker is a bit of a revolving door. Can take some time to settle, especially when you have young guys who I think missed some time in camp, like Edgerrin Cooper did. So it could be one of those deals where maybe they have to move him along quicker than they wanted to because of the struggles elsewhere, like with Quay Walker. But yeah, that takes some time to settle. So I'm probably not having either of those names in my starting lineup or anything, but it's something to monitor because I think it might be one of those deals where Edgerrin Cooper, his snap share continues to grow. Quay maybe goes the other direction, and it's something you might want to keep an eye on and be ready to take advantage of when that sort of inflection point happens.
Okay, let's go to cornerback, and it's Ray's white whale. Jalen Johnson was the highest graded corner for week one with the Bears. Not much to say there. He's just, you know, establishing himself as maybe the top corner in the NFL in debate with Sauce Gardner, right? Like, I think we're almost at that point where it might not be a one-year fling, right? Like, this might be legit. He might be legit. But other guys that performed extremely well, Devin Witherspoon, Jonathan Jones, Alante Taylor, and Kool-Aid McKinstry, those are all guys that I think had promising performances where if you were concerned at all, you know, this gave you the hope that you needed to continue pursuing these guys. I think Jonathan Jones is somebody that actually might be free agent in some leagues. So if he is, definitely go get him. And then, you know, I think just Kool-Aid being consistently good, again, it's against a rough Panthers team, but they did get a bunch of weapons. So you have to think that, you know, he's going against either a first round pick or, you know, a guy that they traded, you know, a lot of assets for in Diontae Johnson or Adam Thielen. It's a good matchup. It's a good win in week one for Kool-Aid. And then the most concerning to me was Marshon Lattimore just because of the injury. He couldn't stay on the field, and that's been a concern for him. At this point, I think I'm just writing him off and probably moving on. And like literally might be a situation where I just say I'm dropping him because I need the roster spot. And that's sad to say because when he does play, he's a good football player, but he might not have it left.
He's more name than game at this point. So if someone values a name, That might be a good, I don't want to say sell high, but that might be a good offloading opportunity here. It's just not there. Just more of those vibes that I don't like for the Saints, even though they crushed it this week. You didn't mention Tyrique Stevenson, who, you know, everybody now knows his name, with the interception, with the pick six there from the Will Levis just blunder that he knew as soon as he let it go. But in general, I mean, Tyrique Stevenson, sort of the other corner in the secondary there in Chicago, entering year two, you kind of want to see, okay, second round pick in 2023. You know, what does year two look like now that he's got a year under his belt and the team around him has kind of improved and gotten better? And, you know, 78.1 coverage grade, I think in around 30 snaps or so. So only three receptions given up on nine targets. So a really solid performance from him. Yes, Jalen Johnson is going to be the guy that gets all of the praise. And people are talking about Tyrique Stevenson now because of the pick six. But just in general, putting that aside, he had a solid game. And this is a talented player with good draft capital that's still young, just entering his second year in the league now. And just on a down-to-down basis, looks a lot better than he did last year. Obviously, it's just one game. But he showed you what you wanted to see, even if that pick six play never happened. He still put in a really solid performance. And so that's another name to see and keep an eye on and maybe roster. I think he's probably taken in most leagues, but maybe in a few, he might've been one of the higher ranked guys on the waiver wire. Something to consider there, but just wanted to shout him out too. Young player with some athleticism and is off to a good start.
Love that call out for sure. But sticking with a guy that absolutely terrorized the opponent was Julian Love. Now with the Seahawks, just made Bo Nix sweat the entire time and really was a big reason why he had the awful game he had. Julian Love, again, just a veteran at this point, goes to a situation where, you know, we expect that defensive head coach to get the most out of his players. And I think we now saw that with Julian Love, where it's like, okay, this is somebody not only that I'm rostering, but I'm like, he might be like safety two for most teams and might be in the consideration for safety one. And safety is a very thin position. So if you have a guy like that, that's like a big win for you with Julian Love. I was very, very happy with Brian Branch's performance as well. I know his grade wasn't ecstatic. It was high 60s, but there were plays on film that I saw him make that were those next level plays that are game changing, right? Game changing plays. Brian Branch has that in him. Great ball tracker, gets to disrupting passes so well and so easily. Shout out to Damar Hamlin as well. You know, obviously coming back from the injury that he had is insane and amazing. But now seeing that he's actually grading well in our system, right? It's like even more props to him for what he's been able to achieve, and love to see that he's getting time on the field. Javon Brisker is the guy I'm concerned about, just because young guy, extremely talented player in what should now be a decent situation. We just talked about the other corners in that group that had great games, makes the safety's life a lot easier. Brisker has not graded well. And actually, like, from his rookie year over the 2 years now, has actually been in decline each year. This was one of the worst games of his career. How concerned should we be? I don't know. It's week one, but he's somebody I'm definitely watching, and I probably don't start for a while until I see it pick back up.
Yeah, I'm way too biased to answer that question. God, I love Jaquan Brisker. Let it play out. Just let it play out. Safety's a tough position for a reason. Let's just let it play out a little longer. But yeah, no, it's not good. It's not good. It's year three. You wanted to see, okay, he's kind of been hovering in those mid-60s. You kind of wanted to see him break into that 70s range, like he has the talent to do, and he hasn't done it. And this is the time for him to do it. So yeah, it's one of those where I'm not sure you have better options to start. Most likely you don't at safety because it's not a deep position. But you don't feel good about starting him either, and you shouldn't, and you can't, because he hasn't shown you any reason to feel good about it. But he's 25. He is talented. He's obviously a great human being, made some great choices for his post-high school education. So I will always be a fan, and we'll just see how it ends up. But it's not something that makes you feel good. You probably invested a decent amount of draft capital in him, either in a startup or in a rookie a couple of years back, because he was a talented player at a position that's typically thin, and you haven't gotten the return you wanted on that just yet. So yeah, doesn't look good. We'll see how it plays out. I do want to shout out Jordan Battle, who like barely got in the game. I think he had one snap yesterday or Sunday. The Bengals need to give him more time. He was very good, very promising last year. I get that there's veterans that you quote unquote trust in front of him, but I'm not sure Von Bell's the answer anymore. I'm not sure he's the same type of player he has been. Jordan Battle is flash whenever he was on the field last year. I think that would suit the Bengals well to get him back out on the field. So just going to throw that out there as well. Talking about young safeties that we could really use on the platform, Jordan Battle's one of them.
Yeah, that's a great call out. Okay, I think that's week one, everyone. That was it was a great week. I hope everybody enjoyed watching the games, and you know, your scores are in there now, so go check it out. Go check out your IR moves that were made as well. Start to set your depth charts for week two. Hit the free agent wire, hit the blind bidding. It's going to be a fun week for you and All 22. If you haven't yet, please give us a follow on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and TikTok at @all22_PFF, and give us a review wherever you watch or listen to your podcast. Have a great day. Go.